Well, hey, I want to do some introductions of who's here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put our little map up here. And we're going to start up there in the northeast and kind of work our way down. And as I call your post, I want everybody from that post that's not sitting at the same table to stand up and introduce yourself to the group. Now, you're going to have to use your outside voice inside, okay? So you're going to have to introduce yourself. All I want you to do is introduce yourself. I'll introduce where you're from. And we'll go around the room, everybody from that post, and then we'll move to the next post. Okay, so I don't think we have anybody from Fort Drum present, but we do have one coming or going to Fort Drum in the future. Okay, all right, Bill Meyer. Yeah, all right. Good. Okay, now, we do need to mention that Robbie Seen is up at Fort Drum, and his mother is in ICU, and I want to just take a second here to pray for her, okay? So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray for Robbie and his mother, especially his mother, and just ask that you place your loving hand upon her, give the nurses and doctors great wisdom and skill. And Father, we just ask for the rest of our time here as we fellowship and celebrate what you have done in our lives and in the lives of thousands of men and women in the Army. Father, we just ask that we'd have a great time of fellowship together with each other and with you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How about West Point? USMA. All right. There's Rob Detmer back there. Okay. All right. And Stoneburners. All right. Okay, and Allison, I didn't mention Allison. There's Allison right there. So Rob and Allison Detmer. Okay, good. All right, Carlisle Barracks. All right, yeah. All right. By the way, if you want to gain access, good access to your units, Larry is talking with all your new brigade commanders. Okay, hint, hint. All right. All right, anybody in the D.C. area?
Hello.
Oh, I was going to say. All right.
Excellent.
I'm also supposed to say I'm Chuck Wood because they're recording this. And this is the Army meeting. Okay, I got that out of the way. Good. Moving right along. Fort Eustis, and I think we're going to have to do Fort Eustis and Fort Lee. But we do have Lauren and Marilyn White. Thank you. Woo, I had a brain cramp there real quick. Okay. And he actually is at both posts. So he meets with a young NCO on Fort Lee, and he covers down on Eustis. All right, Fort Story. Okay, he's a Marine. All right, so he's in a Marine meeting. But he's covering down on Army posts, and we really love and appreciate that. So I just saw it on the registration. I said, oops, I better put that dot on my map. So I was being studious. Do we have Dan from NCSU in here? He's actually working with Dan Coucher, right? He is working with ROTC, all branches. He's going to try to send us some Army hoos, all right? So he's up there at NCSU. All right, Fort Bragg. Stand up, Fort Bragg. All right. Let's start right over here and work our way around, all right? Give us your name.
Stand up.
All right.
Tex.
All right, Tex.
Ben Kaiser.
David and Marilyn Caulfield.
Jack Cody.
John Jess Snyder.
Richard Waterbunny, second.
All right. Great. Give him a hand. There we go. Fort Bragg. All right. Fort Jackson. We actually have an Air Force chaplain who's covering down on Fort Jackson, whose name is... It's escaping me now. There you go. Jason Peterson. Peters. No, is it Peters or Peters? Yeah, okay. Jason. He's an Air Force chaplain teaching at the chaplain school, which is all combined now at Fort Jackson. All right. I know he's here. Fort Gordon.
Andy.
There's Andy Chandler. All right. Sweet. Now, we...
She is known or close more than I am.
Okay. All right, Miss Gwen. All right, and also you got James Carter there, which we'll get to Monica here in a second, but They're doing split ops. You know, they're covering down on two posts there. So James Carter's at Fort Gordon right now. All right. Hunter Army Airfield.
I represent Matt Chael.
All right. And
it's great with Charles.
And who are you?
Cecil B.
Okay. All right. I was just wondering if security knew that you were in here. All right. Give Matt Chael and Cecil Bean a hand. Yep. All right. Fort Stewart. All right. Who are you?
Sarah Kreiser.
John McCary.
All right. And we have to correct because the way you say their last name is Kreitzer. That's the way you say that. All right. Good to have Fort Stewart here. All right, let's work our way back up north. Let's go to Fort Rucker. Fort Rucker. Yeah.
Alan Simmons.
Harry and Debbie Allen.
Josh Holman.
All right, great to have the aviation school represented. All right, Fort Benning. All right, let's start over here.
Mark DeRosario.
Sean Hatch.
Jim McKnight.
Rowena McKnight.
Aaron Kennan.
All right. And way in the back. Yeah. All right, Carrie. All right. Now, we have someone at Camp Merrill, Bob Foster. He couldn't make it, but Bob Foster's up at Camp Merrill hanging out with Ranger instructors. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, God bless him. So, all right. And we have someone at Redstone Arsenal, kind of... I got these guys with the ready keys. What's his name? Okay, there you go. So Steve's up there, and he's leading a Bible study at Redstone Arsenal. How many of you knew that we had a ministry, a Bible study going on at Redstone? Okay, yeah. Phil and me as of about 2 months ago. Okay, so, wow, that's pretty cool. All right, Fort Campbell. All right.
William C.
Patrick Clark.
Joe and my wife Mercy Edwin's upstairs.
All right.
Andrew Deskovich. Drew Motrick, go Bucks.
All right.
Woo!
All right.
Monica Carter.
There's Monica.
Mike and Liz Chong.
Nate Hines. Jake Laron.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. Fort Campbell. All right. Fort Knox. There they are. Nice. All right. All right. Good to have Fort Knox here. Awesome. All right. Fort Leonard Wood. We have a guy out there, a young lieutenant, Adam Akers. He's leading a Bible study for lieutenants. He's stationed there with one of the permanent engineer brigades. All right. Fort Polk.
Hey.
All right. There you are.
John Smith.
Leroy Adams.
All right. Awesome. Now, you know that these guys are real missionaries because no one signs up to go to Fort Polk. All right. Fort Sam Houston. Okay, now, Bruce Stouffer, he's really working with the Air Force, but he's catching the guys there at Fort Sam and bringing them out to a Bible study. I think it's in a Hardee's or something like that, so they're going at it. Whataburger, okay, all right. Wally knows because he's been there, all right. So Fort Sam, we got some ministry going on at Fort Sam. Fort Hood. All righty. Okay, let's start over here. All right. All right.
Julia Diedrich and Kurt Diedrich.
All right, good. All right, Fort Hood. That's good. All right, Fort Sill. Yeah, all right. Okay.
No, he's with us.
Chris and Kimberly Bean.
Okay.
Landon and Kelly Miller.
Danny and Beverly McDonald.
German Lisa McDonald.
All right, great. There it is. Fort Sill. I think that's our newest ministry. I think. Is that accurate? Fort Sill? Yeah. So, okay. Now, Fort Riley is red because we don't have anyone there, but we are praying, and there is a staff couple that's considering going to Fort Riley.
Craig Hermiller.
All right. So he's out there. Yeah.
Jason and Matt
Burch is out there, too. All right, good. We need to color that blue. All right. So I'm getting data here. The guys are taking notes here. Okay. Let's see. Fort Leavenworth. Anybody here from Fort Leavenworth? Okay. Paul and Sarah O are out there, and there will soon be several other couples moving to Fort Leavenworth. So we have a ministry there at Fort Leavenworth. All right. All right. Here we go. Fort Carson. Yeah. All right. They represent.
Yola and Donna Yurkowski.
Bob and Benny Lover.
Vern and Janelle Salter.
All right.
Jim and Dave Smith. Go Blue.
All right.
Woo,
boys.
Michelle Taylor.
Go ahead, Don and Susan. Great, thank you.
Jeff Coleman.
All right.
Carlos and Alicia Sunday.
Stacy White.
Augustus and Jimmy.
All right.
Joseph and Catherine Pierre.
All right. Fort Carson. Sweet. All right. Fort Bliss. Yeah. Nice shirts. Wow. All right. Let's start over here.
Jolie Yenka, Elise Rogers.
Wale.
Bryce Snodgrass.
Rusty B. And Eleanor B. Upstairs with the four Rugrats.
Alan Taylor and Tiffany Taylor.
Great. Alicia Slamra.
Rue Steffi Ruette.
All right. All right. Great. Awesome. All right. Fort Huachuca. Oh, yeah, all right, Rich, you're representing. Good. Rich Robinson.
New Year party.
All right.
I've had a heart for Fort Huachuca for 23 years and have ministered there in the course of time just because I'm at Davis Monthan Air Force Base, really. But that has been a passion of mine. And so I figured, hey, there's got to be one way I can get in here with you already, guys.
That's right. You're welcome.
Cindy Robinson, so I've had a real passion.
But we do have Nate Bliss there. He's a... And John Sloan, okay. Nate Bliss is a new associate staff, just moved there for the career course, okay.
I didn't know their name.
Yeah, all right. We're going to get them down. Just moved there from Korea, all right. So, Huachuca, all right. Fort Irwin, okay.
Jamie Fisher's there right now on TV1.
Okay, all right, good. We're going to get all these blue one way or another, all right. Okay, so Fort Irwin, all right. Presidio. All right, yeah. All right, Dave Besko. Dave and Naomi are up there enjoying just a great ministry with DLI and the Naval Postgrad School. Okay, do we have our California National Guard? Okay.
Bob Johnson.
All right, Bob. California National Guard. All right, Fort Lewis. All right. Okay, all right.
Steve McGee.
Rashad Hoffman.
Lindsay and Isaac Collins.
All right, great. Awesome. I heard a rumor that there's going to be a wedding up there in June. It's an inside joke. It's my son. All right. He's at Fort Lewis. Yeah. And do we have anybody here from Alaska? Okay, that one, I haven't tracked down anyone. How about Schofield Barracks? All right, there we go. Okay, let's start over here.
Mark and Molly Shaky.
Nate Peterson.
Nate Peterson is en route. En route. There you go. Welcome to Hawaii.
I'm Francis at Tripler Hospital and Fort Chaffer.
All right, so there you go. And that...
And Hiccup.
Right. There you go. And some of you all know the Camerons over there, Jim and Wendy Cameron. Okay. How about Korea? You're double teaming. That's okay. That's okay. Let's start here.
Sanford.
All right. And then you guys know Bill Williams. Okay. Good to have you here. Okay. Okinawa. Okay, Bernie and Jackie are over there ministering multi-services, so they also cover down on the Army. And anybody here from Afghanistan? You would be doing us a great honor by using your mid-tour to be here. Your R&R to be at the conference, amazing. How about Iraq? But we do have ministry happening in Iraq and Afghanistan, and really, isn't that what we're all about? I mean, raising up laborers who can do it right where they're at, in the toughest places, in the toughest conditions. And they're sharing Jesus with people on the front lines, and we're really excited about that. So, okay, well, we've kind of canvassed all of us, and we all know each other so well now. So we're going to take a look at introducing the Army leadership team and the overseers. And if I could have the Army leadership team come on up. And the overseers, I'm going to introduce these folks to you. Come on up. What's that? Bring your wife or your husband. And now, while you're coming up, think about what you're doing, because I'm going to put the microphone in your face, and I don't want you to choke. Okay? So think about your job as you come up here, and be prepared to speak. And I'll start over here. No, come on. Okay, well, ladies first.
I'm Abigail Wilson, and I really do the administrative on the Army Ship Leader team, which is basically just do the computer stuff. So if you talk to me on the phone, I'm usually during the check schedule. So.
All right. And we bless Abigail. We all bow. We thank her because we don't have to do all that stuff, you know. And this is her husband, Brett Wilson. Okay.
My name is John Snyder. I'm one of the staff overseers.
Russ Kavine. I'm the training coordinator for the Army.
I'm Doug Cody. I do staff development. Once I figure what that is, I'm going to start doing that, I promise.
Jim A. Smith, we coordinate staff care for the Army.
Joseph and Catherine, and we are one of the staff overseers.
Kurt and Julia, and we're initiatives, right?
Right.
Critical or otherwise. New and old.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Give him a hand. Now, I really appreciate these folks. What we did is we initially are mirroring what the MLT is doing to try to cover down on all the potential things that could be coming our way in order to serve you. That's what we're trying to do. Now, as we move forward into the future, we may find that we need to adjust and shift, and we'll do that. We'll be very dynamic. But the bottom line is the team serving you? That is what we're trying to do. Now, there's other servants in this room that are really important, and they are the regional shepherd leaders. And I would like them to come up and then kind of tell us what region they're in, tell us who you are and what region they're in, because although they're not the Army exclusively, they are across the board. They basically serve all the services, but what they do for us is very important and very strategic. So I want them to come on up. All the RSLs, regional shepherd leaders, would you please come up? All right, and I want you to introduce yourselves to these good folks. Rich, come on up. I want you to come first, because Rich is the director of staff care. I knew that. I was trying to get the shepherd in there, and I don't think that's part of your title. All right. So, Rich, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
Well, if you remember, my name is Rich Robinson, my wife, Cindy. We're at Davis Mountain Air Force Base. I've been there for quite a long time, and I've served on the leadership team here for the last 6 years or so. But if you remember Dave Beat's little illustration of the net, and it talked about the mission, and it talked about the health of our staff. And so one of the things that I believe as a leadership team and what God has done in this new structure, which we're excited about, is created an avenue and a place where staff care can happen intentionally And so that's kind of falls into the category of me. And so we've gotten staff or shepherd leaders, regional shepherd leaders, that are going to help cover that area to where there'll be a resource for every branch and every region to where when there's things we want to do to help encourage, to develop as far as just your family, just life issues. And I know there's not too many life issues here. You guys got your lives squared away, so I'm sure there's nothing going on that you need any help in. But if you do, this is where we are. And so these guys here behind me are going to be ones that will be a resource to that. And they hope to serve you in very many capacities along that line. So I think this is a new adventure for us. And it's true across the Navigator work as far as having it designated specifically to a mission. And so we're kind of learning and developing this thing as we go. So bear with us. Give us a lot of grace along the way. And I so want to serve our service directors like Chuck and all the branch directors to where we can take some of that off their plate and help them to generate healthy staff to accomplish the mission.
Ron and Nancy Mahler, we're in Hawaii, and we just got appointed to the Pacific. As big as we know how
to handle it. Larry and my wife, Ms. Rita Sherbundi, and we've got the Greater Northeast. They call it Greater because it takes in three U.S. Navigator regions, the Northeast, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Great Lakes. That's 17 states, pretty big hunk of geography. Somehow get around.
Good.
When they were trying to name it, I was trying to figure out what do we call this thing. I said, why don't you just call it the upper right corner?
Eric and Robin Kennedy, and we have the Greater Southeast Region, and we call it the Greater Southeast Region because it's the greatest.
Oops. Are you? All righty.
I give myself too much trouble.
There you go. That's called the hook. Whoop. All right. Hey, give these guys a hand. Let me read a passage to you from Numbers 11. Actually, Mike Darnell shared this passage with us as we were getting ready to begin this conference. And I thought it was really appropriate, and it really kind of defines the folks that stood up in front of you. I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of the things that we're trying to accomplish, but the folks that stood up in front of you are really servants. That's the way Jesus defines leadership, serving you. And this is really an appropriate passage. It comes from Numbers 11, starting with verse 16. It says, "The Lord therefore said to Moses, 'Gather for me 70 men from the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and their officers, and bring them to the tent of meeting. Let them take their stand there with you, and then I will come down and speak with you there. And I will take of the Spirit who is upon you, and will put him upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you shall not bear it all alone.'" Now, God was helping out Moses, but it's very clear from that passage that the objective of leadership is to bear the people's burdens. And I very strongly see that as my primary function as your servant. I'm a little squeamish saying your leader, actually. And I'll talk a little bit about that later on. But that's my job, is to bear the burden. And so I enlisted some folks to help me bear that burden because my back is just not that strong. So I really appreciate the men and women who are serving you with me. So thank you for that. All right, what we're going to do now is we're going to do a little exercise, and that's why I've put you all at your tables. And by the way, we are not going to use the entire 4 hours, okay? Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. I thought that would be a cheery little news bite there. All right. So what we're going to do here now is we're going to talk about where have we been in the last 8 years. We have seen an incredible thing happen in the Army. Now, it has happened in the other services, no doubt. But from our perspective, you know, where you're at on your post, you have seen some incredible things happening in the last 8 years. And what we want to do as a work, as a mission, as the Army ministry, is we want to capture some of these things that have happened. And when we start defining the movement, we look at the map and there's a lot of ministries up there. And I asked Phil Parton to kind of do a little bit of calculating, because he has been around for a long time, since the rock was a secret weapon, actually. And so, you know, 20 years on the MLT, he's been around Sinai more than 10 times, and pressed a lot of sand between his toes, and he knows. So I asked him 8 years ago, how many functioning, and when I say functioning, okay, there's a Bible study there, and there's man-to-man going on. How many of them were there, Phil?
Well, Chuck, we had probably five posts staff-led plus West Point.
Okay.
We did have some of those posts out there with insiders, and I don't want to diminish that. That's an navigator ministry. But when we were looking at how are we going to advance the gospel through hitting the military person by reaching each of our branches, this was our challenge.
All right, good. Thanks, man. So Phil is talking about five staffed posts. But other posts, and as I did, now this is rough math, this is Ranger math, okay, and it's always dangerous when you get a Ranger doing math. Okay, I counted up about eight, okay, about eight. And today, not counting the blue dots that we need to start filling in, I counted 28. Now, do you think that man can do something like that? No. And so when we say a movement, we're talking about a movement of God. That God in His mercy and His love and His sovereign grace has put His hand on us at this time and done an incredible work in the Army. And what we want to do is kind of capture some of these things. So what I'm going to ask you to do at your tables is I'm going to ask you to kind of talk about what you have seen in the last 8 years in your local ministry as far as growth. And in the growth of the Army, what have you seen? And now I just want the facts. I don't want any, it happened because, or this, you know, just the facts. How has your ministry and how have you seen the Army grow? And then you're going to pick one representative from your table and we're going to pass the mic around to a few and just kind of share our observations on what we have seen God do in the past 8 years. So go ahead and get after it. All right? Okay, you've got about two more minutes, so start kind of condensing what you have discovered and designate one spokesperson per table. All right, you should have gathered plenty of data by now. What we're going to do is we're going to take this microphone around. We're not going to hit every table, so the other tables will participate in the next question, but we're going to kind of randomly go every other table kind of and get what your input is, okay? So we're going to start over here with this table and let them talk about what they have seen, just the facts, as far as growth in the last 8 years.
So at our table, we have a close to Fort Campbell, Hawaii, Fort Logan, Fort Benning, all represented. At Fort Campbell, they sent out three staff into the Army, three full-time staff, one to Collegiate, the Daggers, and one to the Marine Corps, the Jacobs. They sent out multiple associate staff, including Simmons, who are leading the Rucker ministry, raised up three NT staff and multiple associate staff, all from Fort Campbell. Fort Hawaii, lots of personal development going on. They went from one full-time staff to three full-time staff. Grown two associate staff and also broken into a ministry at the University of Hawaii. Fort Polk went from flatline to up to two Bible studies and growing some potential staff guys there. Fort Benning has sent out at least three full-time
grown four associates at and gone from one Bible study 8 years ago to five Bible studies now. That's the facts.
And one of the things, now listen carefully, because it'd be very easy to slip into a major error here, okay? A major error on our part would be to become staff-centric. We don't want to do that, okay? Staff are important. We want to appoint staff. They handle the logistics and the institutional knowledge, but I'll tell you what Doug Nunke said this morning, the laborers are where it's at. Okay, so as you're listening, it's cool. I want to hear about the staff. But as you're listening, just remember that. It's all about the laborer, okay? Because the laborer is going to reach the lost. That's what we're doing.
Okay. You're getting skipped.
Oh, thanks, bro.
Did y'all hear the one about? Just kidding.
Well, thanks, Chuck, for just saying that about not being staff-centric. And one observation we had here was that the growth observed was the work by non-staff laborers. And so the work that's happening in expansion, the growth of the effort is because of the non-staff labor. So that is consistent with our observation. Would you like anything else? Duck, goose.
All right, we had Carson, Hood, Stewart, and Bliss. Carson went from one staff member, which is actually right here, Thompson, to five now. 30 to 50 people per rally, which is a big growth from 8 years ago. And then Hood, one staff member, three staff members now, 35 people. On average, Stewart, Stewart's got it. Awesome. Bliss, new ministry, brand new ministry. What they're seeing is a spider web of studies, is what we call it. So they had one central study, and now they're starting to see it starting to spread out. So growth there. Just listening to the name of some of the people that have come out of Fort Campbell. Keith Bester,
Alan Simmons, Mike Katie Wright, Smiths, the Piers, Purdoms, the Strouds, the Codys, Rusty Bean, Donald Bean. That's one real, real successful thing in a lot of ways. Oh, and there was a guy named Chuck Wood too. That's maybe more than 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Mark and Patty got to West Point in 2004, and this summer they're going to see their first cadet come back as cadre to minister with them. So
all
the
right.
Four observations across the last 8 years, we have been sowing young leaders into the Army, kind of at all levels, and now they're becoming field grade officers, senior NCOs, and so our leadership is the Army's leadership rather than that.
All right. Well, I wish I could get to everybody, but I know it's time for a break. Okay, while people are making their way in to find their seats, I do want to acknowledge we missed some people. We actually have Angel stand up. Hey, Angel is at Miami. He's a recruiter. All right? Yeah. So Angel's over there, and he's discipling men, and he's doing the work right down there in Miami. Great. And we do have Lauren White. He's here. There he is. He and Marilyn, I told you they were at Eustace and Lee. Was there anybody else that I missed? Don't want to leave anybody out. Yeah. Laura Shepherd. Now, was he in here for the Hood gang? Okay, Laura Shepherd is at Hood. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm going to ask my next question, and we're going to get started with that, if I can find my little clicker thing. Okay, we've talked about the whole idea, thank you, Doug, we talked about the whole idea of what's happened, just kind of the facts. What I want to do is I want to transition to a discussion, what do you think caused that growth? Now, let's agree that without the Holy Spirit of God, that none of this would have happened. Without the promises of God, none of this would have happened. So I think we can all agree that God is the cause of this growth. In fact, I call myself a Calvinist. You know what a Calvinist is? Okay, you got a Calvinist. That's a guy who believes in predestination and, you know, sovereignty of God. And then you got an Arminian. He believes in free will. And then you got a Calminian. Calminian is a guy who believes in sovereignty and free will. And then you got a Calminist, and that's what I am. See, I wake up with sovereignty, and I practice free will all day, and then I go to bed with sovereignty. Okay, so that's I'm a Calminist. We can all acknowledge that, but what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about what you saw from your standpoint, what caused this growth, from your efforts, from dealings with people and leaders and laborers, how did this growth take place? Okay, so with your groups at your table, go ahead and get after that question. Okay, go ahead and consolidate your thoughts. And in about 1 minute, we'll have one member of the table, go ahead and share what you think has been contributing factors to the movement. Okay, we're going to get started now. I want you to listen very carefully to the tables as they share. And if you hear something that has already been shared, don't share that again. Share the new stuff, because what we want to hear is multiple things that have happened in the past 8 years in order to cause this growth from a labor leader standpoint. So Sean's going to take the microphone around. Pick me.
I've been around a lot, so this is where our group came up. Like Esther, for such a time as this, particularly gifted people placed by God in key places, to include the chaplains who opened many doors, have been part of God's exciting vision to other men and women of God. And that's just what's up moving along.
Okay.
Awesome.
because I think one of the things we're seeing in the campus group here was the ability to send whoever you're working with to another post who is, there's someone there even though you may know them superficially. The issue is that all the work you've done to help this person, you know someone over there is going to continue with this person too. And so I think that was one of the things you said, why the movement is going to continue to grow because of that pieces has been so valuable. One more. I think also the idea of creating laborers, not just people who are going to evangelize. So it seemed we discussed more the idea of a focus on helping people grow and mature in the walk of God rather than just simply getting them to make a commitment to God and then not to God.
We talked about the number one thing that we saw was a focus on Jesus and what he did in his life and ministry, and not just his death and resurrection. Secondly, a man who really devoted to God, and I want to give honor to Cecil Bean and his ministry. And thirdly, a war in the military.
One of the things we talked about was one of the things we think makes navigators, they can see the world through the eyes of one man or one woman. So that even though we put in this big picture of the army or the nations, none of it really would have happened without focusing on that one individual at your post. And caring about them enough as they moved on wherever they went to continue to call them, email them, love on them, even as they move on to a different place. So making a lifelong commitment to them instead of, okay, you're at Bragg now, but as soon as you leave, see you later.
Well, I guess we're last, so just kind of summarize what he said. kind of what Jesus said was a big one, not usual, but Chris was a faithful man, just completely stepping out and surrendering their just things in their life, like their homes and just their weekends, the bike over betting. Letting people stay over the house over the weekends, it really gets more guys to come out. And it's kind of like a John 1 thing kind of happens where they're like, come and see. And more guys keep coming out. I also think that it's about reading. It's about networking where, you know, they can go to a different post and not just alone. Maybe they have a friend before they go there. They're like, hey, there's a Bible study. You want to come out? So those are some of the things that Margaret can talk about.
One of the things we talked about. For those of you who were in the Southeast in 2004, 2005, 2006, do you guys remember a summit going to Joe Peter's house, Cecil Bean's house, the issue? There was an intentional distribution of people. We all got together and said, we're going to hold you to it, but where do you want to go? Where do you want to go advance the gospel into a place where there's no one at? And I think it's that intentional thinking of focusing places that aren't manned that gave us a huge push towards where we are today.
Translate, who wants to go to Alaska, Riley?
Yes.
Is it cold? Who are sending to
Alaska? The only thing I haven't heard was a very significant focus on training the men and women about the kingdom of God and about follow.
Sorry, I skipped you.
We'll get to you again. Don't worry, I have a third question. You know, one of the things that we do in training, in staff training, we talk about the six critical factors, and the first factor is laying foundations. And as we talk about foundations, we talk about the three P's, prayer, promises, and foundational people. And one of the things, I've thought about this a lot. What has God come in and done with us in order to help us see His movement and His kingdom grow? And prayer was a huge part of this. I think about the long walk that me, Andrew Stroud, Dave Mead, and Cecil Bean went on and went to all those major installations in about a 2-week whirlwind tour of the United States. And just standing at the gate and praying with bare feet on the ground, claiming Joshua 1:3, everywhere you place the sole of your foot, I'll give to you this land. And we weren't just praying it for one person. We were praying that not only would the navigators be in those posts and present at those posts, but OCF would succeed and Campus Crusade would succeed and Cadence would succeed. And we were just praying that the kingdom of God would advance on all those posts. And the ones that we didn't go to, we even prayed, and we did some makeup tours over to Hawaii and into Alaska, but we went and prayed. And now, the long walk was not the only prayer. I heard a story about Tom Hess, and I know there's stories out there like this. Tom Hess used to walk around the 82nd, the barracks, around over and over and over again, praying that God would reach those paratroopers. And that story about prayer has been repeated on posts for decades. And so prayer is a huge part of this. And then you have the promises of God. It's very interesting. I'm going to ask Doug here to read a promise out of Isaiah 5. No, you had Isaiah 58, right? Yeah. It's very interesting. Check this out. Me and I'll let Rusty read it, and then I'll tell you the story.
Isaiah 58, 9 through 12. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, Here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise from darkness, and your night will become like the new day. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in the sun's scorched land, and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters do not fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets and dwellings.
So that promise, I remember as a young baby Christian when I lived in Cecil's home, and I caught the vision for investing my life in one other man. But that process of just investing in one man could reach the world. I remember grabbing on to that vision and walking around the block, and it was the winter, and I would literally put on my little parka with the hood up, and I'd walk around the block just praying and sometimes just weeping through this passage, asking God, make me a repairer of the breach, a restorer of the streets in which to dwell. I will give myself to the afflicted. I will give myself to the hungry. And God honors that kind of prayer. Now, it's very interesting, as we rely on His promise. I remember when I went through seminary, one of those, I forget which one it is, but as I was going through that, they taught me that I shouldn't claim that promise, because that's to Israel, not to Christians. Well, I'm a child, I got childlike faith, and so I just claimed it anyways, and I think God probably winked at me a little bit. Yeah, that's not for you, but man, you really want that. I think I can whoop that on you, you know. And I just believed it, you know. And I have seen it come to fruition in my life. Now, the interesting thing is that when I asked Rusty to come to Fort Benning, he came to me and he says, I got this great promise. And it was the exact same promise when he got to Benning. God uses His promises, and He fulfills His promises. So it's prayer, it's promises, and it's foundational people. And now, one guy didn't get to get in the picture. I hope he's still here. Steve McGee, are you here? Please be here. Steve. Rats. Okay, rats. No, I'll talk about him, and then you all grab him and say, man, Chuck Wood was talking about you, man. This is good gossip, okay? Good gossip. You can do that. Let me tell you, I could name a whole bunch of people in this room, but one, Steve wasn't in his own picture. But two, I am so impressed with guys like Steve. Andrew Stroud has been busy, busy, busy trying to get around and develop relationships with the Navy as the new Navy director. So he is out and about. And you know who's holding down the post at Fort Lewis? Steve McGee. He's not even associate staff. And he's running a ministry while Andrew's gone. We have people like that among us. How has God blessed us with such men and women, with that commitment and that caliber of following Jesus Christ? It's about prayer and promises and people and a lot of the things that we saw. incredible thing that God's done in our work in the past 8 years. Now I'm going to move to the next question. We're going to take a little bit of time. The next question is, how do we sustain this kind of growth? Now, we're not going to put God in the box, and please don't hear me say we need to develop a formula so we can make, you know, hold God to this. Okay, that's not what this is about. But if we've done some things that have really honored God, and that He is smiling on us as we commit ourselves to advancing His kingdom and sharing the gospel of His Son, if He's smiling upon us, I think that it would be a good idea to continue those things. So the next question, what should we do in order to sustain the work that we see happening now? And maybe there's something that we haven't done that we need to start doing. Okay? So go to your tables and get after it. Okay, go ahead and take this next minute to consolidate your thoughts and get ready to present. And Sean will come around and tell you, or you tell us, what you think needs to happen to sustain the movement. All right, if I could have Deb work her way up here, my lovely wife. And as she works her way up, what I would like, if you can part with your notes, okay? If you can part with them, please, one person at each table, grab all the notes that from all three questions and bring them up here to this table. Just one person, because I want to capture this. And what I'd like to do is put it in probably a big old long email and make sure that you get a copy of this. All right? Yeah, just drop all those notes from all three questions. Thank you. While you're doing that, there are staff here who needed a PRT interview as part of their staff training. It's to complete your staff training. And we had a little bit of a glitch, but if you want to see Jim Smith, he will take care of that. And anybody that's in staff training, we need to finish up. The other thing is I handed out a whole lot of scholarships. And some of you may be wondering, where's my scholarship? For those of you who registered early, your scholarship was automatically put into your NAV account, with exception of one individual, Andy Chandler. Are you still in the room? I owe you a check, brother. You don't have an account, right? Oh, okay. Back in the Army budget. Okay. All right. Yeah. Did you see the full-timers jump at that? Man. Wow. So, and there were other scholarships that went out, and I'm pretty sure that those all got integrated into your, into the conference fee, actually. So, and before I go any further, though, I want to make sure that I acknowledge my lovely bride here, Deb. You know, the Army leadership team, the overseers, you know, the regional shepherd leaders, we spend a lot of time together. But Deb is my closest confidant. And if anything messes up, you can come to me. But if it went right, it's that woman right there. All right? So I really am, she's as much a part of the team serving you as anyone. So I really wanted to honor and acknowledge my wife, Deb. So thank you. She doesn't like that, but I got to do it because I love her. Well, let me spend a little bit of time talking about where we're going. I think I have a slide for that. And, you know, one of the things, I spent a lot of time all by myself just crafting a vision statement. I just felt I should take it upon myself to craft a vision statement for you all. That's what I thought. So I spent a lot of time on this. And here's how it goes. And Jesus said to them, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Would you all like to adopt that as our army Vision statement. All right. Okay, yes. Quote me on that. Quote Jesus on that. Let me just give you a little bit of my heart. You know, I think the more we align ourselves with the Savior, the better off we're going to be. And if we did craft a vision statement, we'd be in here for hours, okay? And quite frankly, I think it'd be a waste of time. Because it would be seen at this conference and then go right in the round file and we'd never see it again. But I'll tell you what, we can agree on what Jesus says. And it's automatic consensus because that's what He's commanded us to do. And you know, it's right there in every one of our Bibles. And we can get to it. And we can remind ourselves on a daily basis. And oh, by the way, isn't that what burns in our belly as navigators? That is the fire that burns within us. We want to do what Jesus commanded us to do by spreading His love to the entire world. So there's your vision statement, men and women of God. Let's do what Jesus said. Let's make disciples of all nations. And lo, He's with us always, even to the end of the age. So that's our vision statement. Where we're going. Let me talk about two things here. Oops. I got two things going here. That's not a good thing for a ranger. One thing at a time. Give me crayons with my field manuals and I'll be all right. Okay. My two great desires. As I serve you, here's my two great desires. Number one, that you become like Jesus. And that you help others do the same. And I'm going to do a 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow me as I follow Christ. But I want you to very quickly get out of my draft and look at Jesus yourself. Study Him. Know Him. Abide in Him. Let me just remind us of a passage of Scripture here. And I think this really here is a promise. This is probably my latest promise that I'm just putting all my chips on. And you know it. John 15. I am the vine. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it. Boy, do I know something about pruning. He prunes it. That it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Isn't that a great promise? That's my first desire, men and women of God, is that we abide in Christ. That you make Him your sole passion. If you do that, your ministry will come. You will bear fruit. That you can take to the bank because Jesus said it. That's my first great desire. My second great desire is that we will network. Because I think, you know, all the things that we said were really good. And I guess I've just picked this one out because it's very, very important to me. Because when we network, it does a couple of different things. One, when we network, it's all about relationships. And I think the angels do cheetah flips when they see a unified church. And the way that we're unified is through our relationships. And we have got to put some of these petty fights that we have had for literally decades about ministry techniques, about the way we do business, about what we think, not what we know, about what we think others are doing. Men and women of God, it is time. The war is over. Okay? If you're that poor Japanese guy that was in a cave during the whole thing, and then all of a sudden you come out and you got your weapon and it's so rusty you can't fire it anyway, the war is over. Let us be unified in this work. And we're, you know what? It's gonna, you know that grace that we've been talking about for so long? That's gonna have to be extended. And you know what? Let me make a confession to you. I am a knucklehead. And I am gonna disappoint you sooner or later. And I ask you beforehand, please forgive me and extend me grace. But I want to do the same thing for you. And what that's going to do is that's going to please God to no end, and He will bless us. But that's going to take a lot of work, a lot of hard work. And you're going to sweat, and you're going to bleed, and you're going to weep to be unified with your brothers and sisters. But you have got to do it. And it's for the sake of the men and women that we're bringing up. Because that is what networking is about as well. If you think that you can take a guy from just receiving Christ and making him a lifetime laborer in the about 1.5 years that you really got him, because they're deployed half the time, if you think that you can do that, then you're on the train to Cuckoosville. You realize that? There is no way that I can take a guy or a gal and make him a lifetime laborer with a vision for passing on Jesus to the next generation in one duty assignment. We owe it to the men and women that we are bringing up in Christ to send them to the next worker, laborer, staff. We owe it to those men and women that we're raising up so that they can continue on their growth, and that they will actually enjoy the fruits, the abundant life that comes in kingdom living and being with Jesus. But when we fail to do that, we short circuit stuff, and then, you know, God's going to do what God's going to do. I believe He's going to save that individual, but wow, shouldn't we be about doing that? Shouldn't we preserve the fruit and pass our friends to the next? So that is a great desire. You know, my poster child, and he probably not a good way to say it, but my poster child for networking is Dave Besko. Dave, stand up. Now, Dave, come on over here, because I'm not walking so good, so you got to come to me, bro. Now, Dave's been to several Navigator ministries. I think he's got the record, but let's hear what ministries Dave's been to.
I started out into Navigators at West Point with Mark Shakey and Dave Beef. I went to Fort Bragg with Andrew Stroud, Doug Cody, Tom Hess, who else am I missing there? Dave Caulfield and John Snyder. I went from Fort Bragg to Fort Bennett with Rusty Bean, Chris Bean, Alan Taylor, Chuck Wood, and then I went from there to Fort Hood. And, Kurt Dietrich, Laura Shepherd, and Arn Robin Allen. From there, I'm almost finished up the Army, so they sent me to a Navy place, and they dropped down to the next level. So I went out to Naval Post Grad School, tied in with Bob Ream out there, had a great time out there at Naval Post Grad School. So.
All right. And how many of those were influential in your life?
Oh, they were huge. Every one of those has had a huge impact on Naomi and I. One of those, I picked up a wife on the way. So it had a huge impact on both of us. We've just recently had the opportunity, God called us to kind of solely start up a Bible study there at the Defense Language Institute. And it's been a great, it's been a huge opportunity for us. And God's really blessed that. But every single one of those ministries contributed to what we're now doing there with the students at DLI.
Good. Thank you, Dave. And now, after he finishes DLI, or I'm sorry, the Naval Postgraduate School, he's going back to West Point to minister to cadets. Is that cool or what? Yeah. You know, and that's because we had that good handoff, like heart surgeons that take the heart out and move it from one person to the next. Different surgeons doing that, and you take great care of that heart. Dave Besko, our laborers, men and women, they're the heart of what we do. And we got to take great care in transplanting them from one place to the next. So my second great desire is that we keep networking and we develop the relationships that facilitate that. Now, all right. This is my one great service. Doug, why don't you read this passage here?
This is Psalms 107, verses 35 to 38. He changes a wilderness into a pool of water, and a dry land into springs of water. And there he makes the hungry to dwell, so that they may be established, an inhabited city, and sow fields, and plant vineyards, and gather a fruitful harvest. Also, he blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease.
We want to see that happen on every single army installation in the entire world. I was at NAV Venture, and I was talking, and I was just sharing my heart. I call myself, this is self-proclaimed, so you can throw stones or burn me at the stake if you want to, but I call myself the apostle of the soldier. I bleed soldiers. I sleep, eat, dream soldiers. And when I got done, the folks there at Glenary knew that that's exactly who I was, and somebody actually came up to me afterwards and said, "You're not talking about every post, are you?" And I said, "Yes, I am. Every post. Let's reach soldiers for Christ on every post." But you know, when you look at that map that we showed, some of you are going, "There's no room left for me." Oh yes, there is. There's plenty of room left for you. And so what I want to do is my great service to you is extend the freedom for you to minister the way God has called you to minister. You have the freedom to do what God has called you to do on that post that you're on. I want to free you up. Now, I got to be honest with you. I made a major blunder, and I'm too embarrassed to go into it in detail, but I made a major blunder in that arena here recently because my normal MO is to give freedom. But for some reason, I went master sergeant, okay? That's never a good thing in ministry. I don't think there's a place for doing that. But for some reason, I made that mistake. And what I was doing was tapping into organizational authority. Now, I do have organizational authority, but please consider that like this. Organizational authority to me is like messing with nitroglycerin. Comes in a little bottle, and just a little bit can be very destructive. In fact, this is not an arm, this is a bloody stump, okay, spiritually. I used a little bit of organizational authority in the wrong way. And not only did I hurt others, but I hurt myself. So this is just a confession to you, okay, just being honest. Well, what I want to do is I want to use kingdom authority. And here's how kingdom authority works. I have no authority in your life except for what you give me. The overseers have no authority in your life except for what you give them. Any spiritual leader has no authority in your life except for what you give them. There's a little saying in the Navigators. Mountains are high, the rivers are wide, and the king is far, far away. Have you heard that? And you know, headquarters comes down and checks out the ministry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it's not really rebellious, but it is passive aggressive, and then that ministry just goes back doing, well, here's what I want to free you up to do what you think God's called you to do. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of room within Navigator Orthodoxy to do that. A lot of room. Now, if we were to start to define it, we'd probably define it like that, and there'd be about 80 definitions in here. But I want you to know that I've been all over the Army and I haven't seen anything yet that's outside of the realm of navigator orthodoxy. And it's certainly not outside kingdom orthodoxy. And so I'm just telling you, I'm extending to you. I want you to feel free. When I ask to come where you're at, I want you to feel the freedom to do what you're doing. Keep discipling men and women. Now, this is a dangerous thing, though. Some people are really afraid of freedom, aren't they? What could happen? Well, I can tell you one thing that could happen. The kingdom could explode under those kind of conditions. Couldn't it? Where you really felt the freedom to do what God's called you to do. That's what could happen. Now, here's where it gets tough. Young associate staff winds up on your front porch and he got trained by somebody else. The same freedom that I'm extending to you, I want you to extend to them. And you're going to have to be a little sneaky at getting your tools in their kit bag. Right? That's going to take a little finesse. It's going to take a whole lot of love and patience. We develop a saying, you don't talk about your mama's cooking in your wife's kitchen. Let me say that again. You don't talk about your mama's cooking in your wife's kitchen. And when we send young guys to other posts, we tell them, hey, don't be talking about Fort Benning. You're going somewhere else. You need to come online. But you know, they love the people that that discipled them. And so when you receive them with kid gloves. Be careful about the relationships that they have. And extend them the freedom while you very slyly begin to put your tools in their kit bag as well. And you're going to round them out. And it's going to work a lot better. But that's risky business. And here's something that's even more risky. A laborer. You ever see these guys? You know, they're beady-eyed, fang-bearing, foaming at the mouth. Let's get with it! You know, they show up on your doorstep and, whoa, 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 cowboy. Let's get to know the lay of the land first, you know. Now, that's even harder, isn't it? How do you extend freedom to that cat? You know, is this guy going to have a nuclear meltdown with a chaplain? What, you know, and you got to be wise. You got to be careful. But extend them some freedom. Help them. And very slyly begin to fill their kit bag with your tools. And you're going to round them out. But the same freedom that I extend to you, I want you to extend to others. Because that's really important. Really important. So my great service to you is to extend you freedom. To do your ministry the way God has called you to do your ministry. And I believe that, yeah, it might get a little messy. And yeah, not everybody's going to look the same. But I believe God's going to bless that. And we'll see much more growth. But more importantly, we'll be much more in love with Jesus and see the power of Jesus and see the work of Jesus in our lives. So that is my great desire. I'm very humbled to have been selected for this position. I do consider it as a position of service. And I'm going to do everything that I can to serve you. And some of the things that I'll do to serve you, and you might have felt some of this as I flipped the budget upside down. Deb and I do not use the Army budget for traveling. We raise that money. And all that money is coming back to you. And another thing that we're doing to try to serve you is by when we show up, we want to come and encourage you. We want to throw gas on your fire. We want us to come to your Bible study and be your greatest cheerleader. We want to serve you that way. Well, we want to serve you too by asking you questions. And just say, have you considered this? And it's not a judgmental thing. It's not a legalistic thing. It's just, hey, you know, I've been all over the Army and I've picked up. You all have taught me so much in the past 4 years. I have learned so much from you. And I want to share that wealth with all of you as well. So I want to serve you that way, by asking you some questions and just giving you some tips of the trade or ideas. And you don't have to do them if you don't want to. That's totally up to you. But if it helps you, then I'm all for that. So I want to serve you. I want to take a little bit of time now to open up the floor for questions. You might have questions about the structure. You might have questions for me about where we're heading. You might have any kind of question. But right now, I want to open the floor for questions if you have them.
I don't have a question. I just want to share my quiet time this morning.
I gave up my microphone.
First Chronicles 11, verse 10. John. And he's talking about King David has just become king of Israel.
I want to ask if people can respond to me with that question you raised to give
the following were the chiefs of David's warriors, who together with all Israel
like to invite him to
strongly supported him in his reign to make him king according
like
to the Lord's word about
can
wisdom.
I invite people?
So I just want publicly to say, Chuck, that we strongly support you. And we're behind you 100% and some.
Thank you, Chris. Oops, this thing's not working. Check.
I would add to that by expressing that you said the vision statement was Matthew 28:18-20. And we've operated by that vision statement, but you filled it out a little bit by wanting to have staff and active laborers on every coast. And doing, you know, the other statements of your vision. I know from going back to Hawaii that having a vision recruits people. It causes people to salute and say, we want to be part of that. And so we want to be part of that, Chuck. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. One of the things that I didn't say was I have adopted a new motto. My new motto is, go Army, bless Navy. One of the things that I would really love to see the Army do, and it's not, it's not because we're better, or the way the Ranger would say it, more gooder. That's not the deal. But God has blessed us with incredible laborers and staff. And you know what? The Navy is just getting off. They've got older staff, and we need to give them some young bloods, some war horses, you know, some guys and gals that'll get in there and mix it up in the barracks and on the ships. And I would really like to see the Army do that. And so, you know, if you're interested in going to a Navy base, you come see me, because I'll bless Andrew Stroud in a second. I want to bless the Air Force and the Marines as well. And it's not just the services. I want to bless Metro. I want to bless campuses. You know, there's a bunch of ROTC units out there. What an impact we could have in ROTC by going and partnering with the collegiates and getting on schools like Texas A&M and the Citadel and VMI, North Georgia College. We could spread, and I want to go to the nations. Where's Joe Peer? Thank you, Joe. Thank you for always keeping that before us. I want us to reach Muslims to Eskimos. I want us to reach the nation. So, Ron, thanks. And we'll go beyond the Army. We'll definitely do that. Okay? Let's carry that microphone over to Kurt.
I'm right.
Yeah, okay. Here, Kurt.
Hey, just what Ron was saying is really true. Chuck tried to kind of trick us.
Sneaky Ranger.
Yeah, that's the vision statement. I would say, I'm putting on the critical initiatives hat right here. The Matthew 28, yeah, that is our mission. But there is a vision that Chuck just laid out. And that's a thing that we're going to, you know, pull people along with. Hey, join us. This is what we're about. And so one thing he just said was he wanted to set us free to minister in every possible angle that we feel God is calling us to meet and minister at. So what I would like to do is ask you to send me what, maybe as he was uttering those words, set you free. Maybe that there's something that went off in you, oh, that means I can do this. And I'd like to hear what that is, and you give me that. Will you do that, please? I'm Kurt Diedrich, and my email, kurtdiedrich@yahoo.com, is in the labor directory. So, just get that. You've been set free. What is it? could be different from it is different from what you're doing. It's something you're dreaming about.
Thanks.
What is it? And let us hear that. All right, please.
Thank you. Yeah, you guys are going to come up with some good ideas. And what we don't want to do is we don't want the good idea flying down from headquarters, okay? That's always, well, not always, but most of the time that's a bad good idea fairy, okay? Bad. But the good idea fairy flying up from the field, that's a good idea fairy. Okay, good. A good idea fairy. Okay. All right. Other questions?
In February, we went to the African American Conference, and I don't know if you guys noticed the percentage of African American represented here is a lot less than what's across the Army. So I'm wondering if there's any kind of thought given to some kind of strategic initiative, maybe my Kurt's involved in that, as to how we are approaching that versus the ideas.
Good. Excellent question. One of the things that we're really concerned about is ethnic ministries and women's ministries right now, okay? And so I've already started putting together, in fact, Catherine Pierce is helping me out with this, is putting an advisory council together for me to advise me on how to move forward in women's ministry in the Army. We're also going to put an advisory council together for ethnic ministries. So these two councils will be coming up with, from the grassroots, what are the ideas that we need in order to move forward in these areas? And yes, Kurt is going to help us out in this arena, but that is obviously two of Dave Mead's primary concerns, and it is definitely our primary concern as well. So does that answer the question? Okay, good. Add councils and get it from the grassroots.
Just a quick question. I know that you and the leadership team is quite frank for a number of these geographical locations, but we may not have a big presence. What are the top of your list?
Oh, man, great question. One of the things that I would like to do, I have several top of the list, and I know you're not supposed to do this, but I'm going to do it anyways. One of the things that I feel is critical is multi-staffed posts. And to put several staff on a post so that you can adequately cover that post. And there's great synergy in having people that are different in the same team. And now, it might not be all centralized. They might not do everything together. But at least in the command module, where the communication happens, they're different and they're working together in a centralized way. And, you know, multiple staff. To me, Fort Hood and Fort Bragg are the pictures of that, where staff, and especially at Fort Bragg, I mean, they have several different ministries at Fort Bragg. And they are functioning decentralized, but they have a centralized cooperation going on. I'd love to see that on all our posts that are big enough to handle multiple staff. So those are some big posts. I mean, Fort Drum, Fort Bliss, you just start looking at the big posts. Boy, we want to multi-staff those posts. The other thing that I think is a priority is when you look at Fort Benning, it surprised us. Fort Benning is a TRADOC post, and traditionally, we have not put our TRADOC posts on the strat list. They're not strategic. But man, have we cranked out some godly men and women who came from West Point and Wheaton and from ROTC, from jump school, and all of a sudden we realize the importance of that intermediate connection between commissioning sources or basic training and those kind of things, intermediate connections in order to network them out to the gaining posts. That is very strategic. So places like Fort Leonard Wood, Fort Sill, Fort Huachuca, Fort Lee, those are really important places, in my opinion. Even places like Fort Jackson and Fort Gordon. Now, you may not have them for very long, but you can do some evangelism. You can get in there and teach a chaplain Sunday school group. I know Campus Crusade did that for me when I was a chaplain at Fort Jackson. And then you can send those soldiers on to the next post. And there is great synergy in that. So that would be kind of the second post. level. And then I want us to get beyond the Army. I really do. I want us to get into the Navy. You know, we're not rescuing them. I don't want it to sound like that, but I do want to serve them that way. I want to get into Collegiate's Metro. I want to get into the nations. So, you know, those are all top priority. How's that sound? Okay. All top priority. Here's the bottom line, though. If you come to me and you say, I want to be a navigator, and that could look like I want to be an insider as a navigator, then I'm going to empower you to do that. Where do you want to do that? Bro, sis, where do you want to do that? If you come to me and you say, I want to be a full-time navigator, well, there's a little bit of training involved in that, but where do you want to go? I believe, this is my opinion, I can have a strat list, but I believe you're going to be much more happier. That's Ranger stuff again. You're going to be happier. You're going to be happier doing what you think God wants you to do. So if you come and tell me you want to go to Fort Hoochie Coochie, and that's where you really want to go, by golly, I'm going to send you there. Because there's soldiers that need Jesus there too. So the highest priority in my mind, what do you want to do? And if you want to do something, please grab me during this conference and give me your email. And I will recruit you. I'm a recruiting Muldoon, okay? I will recruit you in a heartbeat. Did that answer the question, Dave? Okay. Very eloquent, right? Okay. All right. There's a question. Jim.
We have a question on the table for Hoochie-Coochie.
All right. Actually, that's a nickname for Stewart. No. No, Fort Swampy is the nickname for Fort Stewart. But.
Yeah. Yeah. I have another question I wanted to share a thought of my mind.
Sure.
I feel a little bit humbled by this because I, just to betray my own maturity, I saw unity as a good thing, but not essential recently, and that's kind of where I've been on unity. And then I hit some things that God's been doing in my life. And I read Psalm 133 in Romans, verse 1, how good and pleasant is the brothers that have together in unity. The verse 2 says, it is like the precious oil on the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down the collar of his robes. As I was thinking about that Aaron was high priest. He was God's representative between man and the people. And oil represented the Spirit of God, setting apart for holy use, consecrating him. And it just occurred to me that unity was the context and all that. That one of the ways that God's going to set us apart to be effective in his service is forcing us to change by being unified with each other. It's impossible to be unified, say the way I am. So one of the ways God's going to be expanding us is as we try to be unified together. And that's for our good, for people we reach later on.
Good. Thank you, Jim. Okay. Well, I didn't want to keep you for this whole time. I promised I'd cut you out early. So if there's, you know, if you have a burning question, then come and see me and I'll answer it to the best of my ability. But before I pray, let me just say this. I love you. I do. And I love what you do. You're reaching those soldiers that I love so much. And I thank you. Especially you guys who are, you guys and gals, you're full time with the ministry and you're full time with a job. You know, it's a little easier being a full time navigator. It's not easy, but it's a little easier. But I've been there. I've done that thing where you got a full time ministry and you got a full time job. I can never thank you enough for the sacrifices that you are making. Thank you very much. Let's pray. Holy Spirit of Jesus, be upon me. Holy Spirit of Jesus, be upon us. Holy Spirit, be upon our hands as we work. Be upon our hearts and our minds as we believe and trust. Be upon us. Lord, help us to abide in you. That when we read the Scriptures, it's not academic. It's not checking a block. It's to get to know you and to be covered by your love and your grace and your truth. And that, Lord, what we would do is as we take a good look at your Son, that we would become just like him. And I pray these things in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.